Jacksonville. It is a beautiful Saturday day, and welcome to Smart Money. All of our special first-time listeners, especially you. I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Mike Ellis.
And Corey Schrader.
I thought, what happened to Corey Adamus?
Well, that's later.
That was just the first week and the last week, apparently.
Yes.
Of the year.
Anyway, folks, again, first-time listeners, a very special welcome to you guys and gals. Hope that you'll be able to stay with us for the full 2 hours today. And as always, thank you to our core listening group, our regulars. God bless you. Thank you for your listening patronage. Without you and your ever-increasing numbers, we'd be in trouble. So, but we're awfully grateful. What is the show about? Well, two different things. We're going to take the topics of today, whether they be on a local, national, international, or global basis, and we're going to bring them back to you in your home so you can better understand how the decision of others impacts and will influence your life. Then at the bottom of the hour, the show then becomes yours. That's right. As I designed it upteen decades ago, this show was designed with you in mind. So we're going to open up the lines to you and your questions. We are a Christian-based radio show. Madden Advisory, which is, we got real jobs. That is a Christian-based firm. And we try to lead our lives along the principles of Jesus Christ and his gospel. Why do I tell you this? Folks, I'm not here to flaunt my religion in front of you. More importantly, we exist today in a rudderless world. What do I mean by that? We have no real moral standards that guide us. At one time, America was a beacon of moral standards and values. No longer is it today. When physicians can yank a baby out and say, okay, you want it? Keep it or not, and then kill it otherwise. That is the fundamental belief within the Socialist Democratic Party. I just cannot abide by that, accept it. This is totally off key. Princess Bride was showing me something, I guess it was on YouTube. It was from America. Is America Has a Voice? I think that's the name of it. Anyway, it was this young man from the Philippines. I've never heard a more incredible voice than I heard from him. As it turns out, his mother gave him away at birth. His father is still in prison, and he raised himself on the streets of, I guess it was Manila. And how someone found him, and when he was sad, lonely, hurt, whatever, he would sing. And this guy has a voice range that is unbelievable. Why do I tell you that? How many people like him have been killed because, gee, it was just not convenient for me to have the baby? I just can't subscribe to that. And we've got to have a moral foundation. This show is not about pro-life or pro-abortion. That's just one of the things. But we've got to have a moral foundation, and I just want you to know that we have one. So topics today, this is going to be interesting. You know, we as financial planners are always working with people getting ready to retire or that have retired. But what we're finding out more and more the longer we live is, gee, will you ever really want to retire? I'm a classic example of that at 75. For me to wake up in the morning and not have a place to go scares the bejeebers out of me. I've worked since I was 9 or 10, and I love, dearly love what I do. So why should I quit?
No reason.
No reason. So anyway, you have four topics today.
So for today's Did You Knows, we'll be looking at some interesting facts surrounding the holiday on Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
So, did you know today is Poo Day?
The Winnie the variety.
I'm assuming, right?
It is. It is the Big Pooh himself, Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
That's right. It's National Winnie Pooh Day. So,
is that when he was created or when the story came out or what was that?
The Pooh would have to answer that. He's the one that selected this.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we'll the market.
That. Yeah.
Oh, we got to be fast, too. I've been jabbering.
All right. Well, a lot of optimism as usual and a lot of positive news. So we are actually seeing the markets, again, rallying. Dow's up almost 3, S&P's over 3, and the NASDAQ is almost at 5. So a lot of that came on the heels of the U.S.-China trade deal being signed and some positive economic signals last week. They did move a little bit higher based off of the White House signing. However, there was still some, some negativity just around how much will this really move. When we looked at it, basically what happened is China agreed to buy an additional 200 billion U.S. goods by the end of next year. But some doubted that the Chinese could achieve such a target. So as earlier reports suggested, the U.S. agreed in return to cut tariffs on some Chinese goods from 15 to basically half of that at 7.5. But it left in place 25% tariffs on roughly 250 billion in Chinese imports. So just again, going back and forth with that. But it is a positive move. Another positive move was new home construction is at the highest level since 2006. So I'm sure that's got some people concerned, but it's also a positive. I know we see about 10 to 15,000 homes here in Florida on a consistent basis, almost on a monthly basis. So a lot of good positive things. Even corporate bonds are seeing continued strong demand. And that's just on people looking at taking on more and more risk as they start to see more optimism moving forward. One thing to note, just internationally, Bank of England is actually looking to cut rates. It's about 80% chance that they'll cut rates in January 30th.
South Africa did a quarter of a point.
So there's like I always say, I always think of it like a tricycle. You know, you got the U.S. in the front, you got the international merging in the back. So wherever the U.S. goes, typically you're going to see others follow. So with a lot of optimism, a lot of caution overseas, but, we focus on more domestically, at least how we manage things.
Yep. Have a good asset allocation. Okay, folks. This ain't no dress rehearsal. This is a real deal. What are we talking about? Retirement. Do you think you'll ever want to retire? That's an important question. A comfortable retirement includes more work than quit. People spend a lot of time wondering if they'll have the means to retire, often ignoring the equally important calculation, do they have the will to retire? A job, historically seen as a simple way to make money, is increasingly the source of types of friendship, stimulation that are hard to find in the bingo halls, beaches, riding a golf court. When I talk about our future, none of us says, when I'm 65, I'm going to retire and live on a farm and do absolutely nothing. Well, anybody that's ever been on a farm or a ranch, it's impossible to live on it and do nothing. I can promise you that. Routinely, we're told we won't have the cash to retire and expect to live longer and happier lives than our parents. Well, workers have plenty of motivation to pursue employment even after they become eligible for Social Security. When people leave school, it's not going to be for 25, 30-year careers. It's going to be for a 50-year career. Now, this is from economist Olivia Mitchell, who is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania's prestigious Wharton Business School of Business, which, by the way, Donald Trump was a graduate of. Dr. Mitchell says actuaries are now projecting people entering the workforce could live 125 years, and this is a really a good one, and that's just a starting point. Some demographers say the baby who will live to be 200 years old is already born. Average life expectancy in the U.S. is 78, and that's according to the World Bank. Well, people in their 60s today look very much like people did in their 40s not long ago. And that's true. Princess and I were doing shark dives without the cage in our 60s. This view of aging is shaping our career aspirations. Others I talk to say they will work part-time or even go back to school later in life. A 2018 Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies, the survey found half of over 6,300 workers polled don't expect to retire at 65, and 13 plan never to retire. The number of people who want to retire after 65 has increased threefold since 1995, and that's according to a Gallup poll. America's average retirement age has increased in the past 25 years to 66 or older. Much of this sentiment is due to the barrage of headlines about rising health care costs and Social Security shortfalls. A Boston College professor, economist Alicia Monell, says it's smart to encourage today's worker to stay employed until at least 70 years old in order to accumulate more savings. But there are other reasons to stay employed. The physical demands of work have declined, and it has become much more personally and socially rewarding for us. With U.S. birth rates today falling and membership in religious institutions at all-time lows, work is addressing a void once filled by children, churches, or community organizations. Overall, people are working more, a half hour longer every weekday versus 12 years ago, and spending less time socializing, attending community events, or participating in sports and exercises. And that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Careers are already getting longer. Today, the only age group with a growing labor participation rate is those 55 and older. The modern concept of retirement was forged around the Great Depression, when Social Security was established as an insurance plan for the elderly finding themselves unemployed back then. The majority of Americans who made it to adulthood could expect to live only to 65. That was, I think, the old Kaiser plan from Germany. According to the Social Security Administration. It's a deterioration, health, and poor job satisfaction, not money, that most often inspires someone to leave the workplace. People who can and want to stay in the workplace also, and this is really important, live longer lives and face a lower risk of dementia, depression, obesity, and this is according to research by a Matthew Rutledge, an economist professor at Boston College. I had a thought as I was going through this. It'll pop back in, so I'm going to blurt out something. But those wanting to keep working, it is easier than in the past to remain sharp and productive. Developments in semi-autonomous vehicle technology will make commuting safer. Automated processes can reduce physical or mental demands, and an abundance of retraining efforts offer a chance to learn new skills. The rise of the so-called gig economy. Now, I say that, start thinking about your Air Buds and Uber drivers, offers a view into what future opportunities could wait some people who keep out of step out of a full-time job and seek fewer hours and more flexible arrangements. Some experts call this a bridge job or unretirement jobs. Patagonia, not the country either, the outdoor clothing maker, is among an army of companies analyzing how it would deal with a rising tide of older employees. The company is intent on providing a glide path for people nearing retirement who don't want to simply fall off the cliff. Patagonia started to tackle this more intently about 18 months ago when longtime employees signaled they were thinking of hanging it up. The company realized it would be a mistake to see its elders walk out the door. Elders are spending time in the lunchroom at Ventura, California, the company's headquarters, passing down stories, traveling the world, lecturing on company's culture, or conducting sessions on the environment. Folks, all of that fits this future. Where do you come in? Okay, we're going to take a short information break, and then we're going to be right back. You listen to News 104.5 WOKV. It is, that, by the way, we're Jacksonville's News and Talk. It's 10:22. Did you know?
Do you know how many Americans had their birthdays turned into national holidays?
9.
12.
Both over. I'll give you the right answer after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. It is 10:27. Did you know?
So did you know there are only two Americans whose birthdays were designated national holidays? George Washington, the first United States president, and Martin Luther King Jr., the iconic civil rights figure.
You're forgetting Steve Spurrier.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, facts are facts. What can I tell you? You know, it is what it is. Hey, folks, listen. Just because his market is where it is, don't think that is, oh, my gosh, the house of cards is going to come crashing down.
Nope.
In order for us to have a recession, recessions are engineered by the feds, and that generally happens when they start jacking interest rates up. Well, I don't see that happening.
Well, you got to change everybody's sentiment. You got to take the wind out of the sails.
Well, yeah, that's because inflation has run rampant. Mm-hmm. There is nothing out there that says run for the woods. Now, do I think we're going to have a profit-taking correction? You betcha I do.
Yeah, that's actually what we're looking at every single week right now is how do we just rebalance back to where people need to be there just because it's run up and just want to make sure that we're prepared for any sort of retracement over the next 6 to 12 months, especially with the election and Iran and all the other lovely things going on.
You know, this is a good time to look at those of you that have really done your homework and have a allocation of contrarian investments, meaning they don't all move in the same direction at the same time. This is a good time to look at your overage and sell your overage and buy your loser.
Wait a second. So you want me to sell what's winning and buy what's losing?
I know that sounds crazy.
That sounds insane.
I know. What the hell? You know, sell high, buy low. Who would want to do that when you can, what is it, buy high and sell low?
Rinse and repeat till broke, right?
So don't get caught up in this.
Now, I was going to also piggyback on that. It's like, you know, also don't let your mind get in the way either. You know, just because you think it's going to drop off at any time, the realistic side of it is the probabilities are in your favor. It'll keep running.
Yeah. Anytime you think that, the market's going to do the opposite of it. And besides, if you're thinking that way, you don't have a long-term perspective, which is very, very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it just, I mean, it also depends on how you're investing your money, too. I mean, are you short-term, long-term? What are you doing? You know, so it depends on everyone's different situation, right?
Yeah, and that goes back. Do you have a plan? Now, we take a very conservative approach to investing, and we focus on the downside. All right, listen, I know that I'm getting ready to get fussed at, so bingo, the time is here. That's right. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045, as the beautiful Mystic Minx and Absentina will tell you. She sends her regards. So, anyway, did you know?
So can you guess why Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, which is actually January 15th, by the way, is being celebrated on January 20th?
That is when the president's sworn in.
What? That's a good guess. I don't know.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live on this absolutely beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. You're listening to News, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. Call and call now, as the beautiful, exotic, mystic minx will tell you. And she's listening, so she'll know. Yeah, trust me. Did you know?
So Martin Luther King Jr. Day is being celebrated on the 20th and not his actual birthday, because the 20th is a Monday. The Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1968 became effective in 1971, and that law changed the observance of several U.S. holidays to create three-day weekends for federal and federally regulated industry employees.
So the actual holiday is the third Monday in January.
Yep, that's when it will be celebrated.
Oh, isn't that nice? Okay. Tony Arlington, great question.
Hello, yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, love you guys' show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, I have an opportunity, obviously, to move my 401k after changing jobs, and you know, IRA, CDs, or just go with my new company. What do you guys think?
Well, how much money are we talking about, first off?
It's only about $70,000 in the 401k, but I have $50,000 in an annuity that I had with back in the IBEW days.
Is that annuity, is it an IRA?
No, I don't think so.
Did you roll an IRA into that annuity?
I don't know that answer to that one.
Do you remember where the $50,000 came from?
Yeah, I used to work for the IBEW, so it's a union annuity. That was 20 years ago. So it's been sitting there building up, but my 401k has been building up with since then.
Okay, I'm still going to go back to it. Do you know if the money in there was tax favored dollars? In other words, did you give the money to the union to invest for your retirement, or did the union, out of their generosity, say, we're going to set up this for you? I'm going somewhere with it, I promise.
Right, yeah. I gave them the money, and they invested, yes.
Okay, do you remember if you got to deduct that money from your taxes?
I never did. I don't know if I was able to or not, but I never did that. I always did standard deduction taxes.
Well, that would have not necessarily would have been a pre-tax. You really want to find out, Tony, what you're dealing with. My general hunch is that I would probably roll the money over. I'm going to turn it over to Mike and Corey Odamas. Mm-hmm. What would you guys do?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, as far as that 401k, if you move it into the new plan, you're going to have whatever options they give to you. They're 401ks are wonderful general savings tools. They have just enough in there to accumulate assets and build for your retirement, but they're not really tailored to you or what you might need. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And, you know, the new company seems good, and they got a good 401k, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't know that as far as their investments, you know, so I don't dig that deep in what they do with it.
Okay. Do you have any, you know, health issues or anything like that that would cause you to potentially need to pull money out from somewhere?
No, nothing major going on.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason I ask that question is once it's in that 401k, it's really hard to pull it back out. Whereas with an IRA, if you need access to it, it's a lot easier to gain it. So for flexibility purposes, if you're looking for flexibility, the ability to work with somebody professionally to help you establish, you've heard us talk about it many times, I'm certain, that financial blueprint, those are going to be things where you can really do some work with an IRA. If you wanted to stay more generalized, things like that, that's when you'd use the 401k.
Yep. Hey, Tony, quick question. How old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
50, just turned 50.
Okay, well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
The reason why I ask is, you know, if you were, getting to the point where you were starting to look at needing some funds, there are certain provisions in the 401k you can look at. Additionally, do you need any sort of, do you know if the plan that you're working with now would allow any sort of loans or anything like that?
They don't.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So and the reason why we're asking a lot of these questions is there was a law that was supposed to go into effect, a Department of Labor law that basically said what's in the best interest for you, whether you put it in a 401k or an IRA, when you move from employers. So we're just running through that list to make sure it does an IRA or that kind of 401k make sense for you.
How high is your income now? Did it go up with changing jobs, I hope?
It's right even. Right at about $55,000 a year.
Okay. What I'm trying to project forward what it might look like when you go to retirement. You're probably at your present accumulation stage. Let's say you earned 7% and you were going to retire at age 70, like I was talking about in the editorial. That would be 10 years, so the money would go from, you had, he's got 70 and 50?
Yeah, about
120 to 240 to 480 at 7% by the time you're at age 70 without adding to it. So roughly $500,000. That could produce for you today anywhere from 24 to 30,000 a year in income. Factor your Social Security, and you're probably close to what you're making right now. I would probably roll it. There are actually investment options that you might want to explore that we could help you with that are called robo. That have very low entry levels and at the same time very, very low fees associated with it. So you might want to give us a call. And Mike, Corey, one of us can certainly give you some insight on how to handle that.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate it. That gives me some good ideas. I knew that once I rolled it over that I couldn't touch it,
Well, it's pretty much the same as where you are right now. The big advantage that you might have right now is whether the 401k has a loan option attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
With my job, I don't know that answer yet.
Well, you'd have to go to the document itself, or your HR person could tell you whether you'll have a loan option. But otherwise, what you want to focus on then is getting the maximum return at the lowest level of acceptable risk that you can get. And generally with 401ks, as Mike has brought out, Corey Adamas has, you got limited options in 401ks. This was a hard lesson to learn. But when companies take on 401ks, they're not necessarily looking for what are the best investment options for you. They're going to do what is required by law, maybe sometimes more, in all fairness. But what they're looking for is who can give me the cheapest reporting prices and keep me out of trouble and make sure they get turned in. And, oh, by the way, what do you have for investments? You would hope it would be different, but it's not.
Nah.
So
I kind of noticed that. I mean, I haven't been as involved as I should have been, maybe, because I'm, not sure how all the investments work. But they give you options like moderate risk, that kind of thing.
Okay. The problem dealing with what you're saying, moderate risk, conservative, aggressive, and I know what you're saying, all of us do. It's a safe way for them to define themselves. Unfortunately, those are adjectives that are meaningless.
Right.
There are four people involved in this conversation. Well, actually five if we include Scotty and the Mystic Minx, who is unavailable. But we would have six different definitions of what would be moderate, conservative, or aggressive. None of those would tell you what is a reasonable rate of return, and also what is a reasonable level of risk measured by standard deviation. How much does something go up or down from the average? So stay away from definitions. They'll get you in trouble. All right?
Yeah.
Give us a call at the office, 296-1127. We'd love to talk to you. And by the way, Mike and Corey Adamas are very generous. They said they don't charge anything for an initial consultation.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Sure thing. God bless, Mike.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a short information timeout, and then we're going to get right back to you and your calls. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yeah. Lines are open, 855-765-1045, and as the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you, call and call now. Did you know?
Can you guess how many people in America's history have international holidays in their honor?
2.
19.
We'll talk about it after the break.
Yo, Jacksonville. Getting us in crosstalk here. We're trying to get you guys prioritized. Folks are listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Did you know?
So American history boasts three people who have international holidays in their honor.
Man.
Christopher Columbus.
Oh.
George Washington. I just said America's history, not Americans. Yeah. And Martin Luther King Jr. MLK Day is observed in Toronto, Canada, and Hiroshima, Japan. Toronto celebrates because of King's recognition of Canada's efforts to assist escaping slaves prior to the Civil War. And Hiroshima celebrates because of King's contributions to the anti-nuclear weapon movement.
You know what I'm starting to figure out?
You know,
there's a theme. It just hit me. I'm like, I should have at least known one of those people.
If I were Japan, I would be celebrating the nukes. Because how many millions of lives did that save by not having to go through a ground invasion of Japan?
Interesting.
That's a different story.
Well, the staffers did the math on that. They were approximating that each side would have somewhere in the realm of 4 million dead.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting comment. So cool. What do we got?
Okay. Nick has an interesting question for us. Yo, Nick, Dr. Zinlet, that's right across from me.
That's hometown for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, brother.
That's where it's at.
Okay, well, here's my situation. I've been self-employed now for probably close to 45 years. Okay? And the reason for that is I couldn't hold a job in a bucket. I am not an employee. Okay? And it's worked out fairly well. I'm 69, just turned 69 a few months back. And I intend to continue to work. I'm pretty healthy. Continue to work for another, you know, however long my legs and knees hold out. Okay. So we're getting along just fine with our Social Security payments. I put my wife's in a savings account, and I draw a little bit of a paycheck from the business. It's a very small business at this point. So we're doing pretty well in that regard. So continuing to work into your retirement, if you can do it. Because if you sit around the house, your wife will run you nuts.
Army wives have a famous saying, we marry you for life, but not for lunch.
There you go. Okay, and my second question is, I have had an IRA, a pre-tax IRA, for probably 25 years or so, maybe a little bit long, a little bit shorter period of time than that. It's not worth much. It's about $32,000. Okay. Now I understand that you don't have to take distributions from that until after 72. The law has changed. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep. December 20th. That
right.
changed.
So now what do I do with that money? We don't need it right away. But it's not making me a whole lot of money at this point. I have an emergency account that will cover most extreme situations, and our income is secure. So what can I do with that to make more than I'm making now?
Okay. I'm going to let Corey and Mike handle this. Your biggest risk right now, Nick, is if you're socking away your wife's money, why aren't you putting some of that into qualified retirement vehicles?
No, my wife. It's a hard thing to discuss with my wife.
Well,
go ahead. I understand. I understand.
What is your taxable income?
Oh, probably zero after deductions. Standard deductions.
Self-employed. Yeah.
I don't think I would put any money into a tax deductible IRA. There's no benefit in doing that.
Yeah.
Roth IRA might be an entirely different animal for you.
That was brought up in the discussion I had with another gentleman. But go ahead.
So, okay, guys. So I would probably go with the Roth now for funding it. We don't have a lot to work with. What would you do?
Right.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me is you know, you said your income's pretty secure. You're not taking any money out of it. Obviously, you know, if you get to the 72 age, then maybe you have to start taking some stuff out. But
right. At
the end of the day, it's more of a legacy versus a do you really need to start spending it? So is there anything that you would want to do from a charitable perspective or even a future legacy perspective that would play into that? And where I'm going with that is from an investment perspective, you probably heard ad nauseum time horizon. So a lot of people think, oh, I only got 5 more years until I need to start using it. Well, if you are going to gift it to people or use it for legacy purposes, the time horizon is way longer, which means you can put more risk on the table and get better returns based off of that. So long story short, what is kind of the goal or objective that you'd like to see from the money, and what's a reasonable rate of return? And then how do you just make sure that you're getting the best risk-return trade-off and squeezing the most juice out of that lemon, you know?
Right. Well, that's why I'm calling you. So what's your phone number?
Go ahead, Mike. What's the number?
So we are at 904-296-1127.
Yeah.
1127.
Where is your office located?
Do you remember where the old St. Luke's Hospital is in South Point?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know where Dave and Buster's is in South Point?
I'm kind of, sort of. I'm not real familiar with that area.
Okay, Dave and Buster's, put your back to the wall, look across the parking lot, and you're looking right at us.
Okay. So you don't want to give me your address.
No,
5200 Belfort.
I can give it to you. It's 5200
Belfort
Road.
Yeah, Suite 400.
Okay.
410.
There you go. 410. That would be.
But it's going to be confusing when you try to get there.
Yep.
I've got several GPSs. I've got the Waze GPS, and that'll get me. That'll get me there. Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
I hope we answered your question for you, Nick.
Well, you're kind of pointing me in the right direction. I know I'm going to have talk to a financial advisor because I'm not up on this stuff.
Yeah,
it's to the point now where you don't want to make any stupid moves because I've made too many mistakes when I was younger. I don't have any time to make any more stupid mistakes.
Okay,
I got one quick thing for you, Nick. Make sure that you talk with a fiduciary. That's the biggest thing, man.
Oh yeah,
because
if
you walk in and they see and you're a little glossy out on investments. Watch out.
I'm done. I'm done this time. They have done me no good at all.
Yeah.
Watch
all right. Give us a call.
Okay.
We'll do.
All right, Nick. Take
Thank
care.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Okay. Let's try to get Steve. Doggone it, Steve. I tried to sneak you in there.
You were giving me the
finger. Scotty wouldn't let us do it. It's his fault.
Yep. That's
so,
right.
I'm going to need to put you on hold if that's okay.
That's fine.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a information time, bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area, and then we're right back to you as soon as we can when we get back, Steve, Floyd, and the rest of you. Just hang tight. Did you know?
Did you know the largest formal petition in United States history?
Yes.
The what?
Do you know the largest formal petition in United States history?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I don't believe you, but we'll talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live, Hour 2. Again, this is a beautiful Saturday weekend. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
So the largest formal petition in the United States history was the petition to make a national holiday in honor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and contributions to America. Over 6 million Americans signed a petition sent to Congress in 1970 calling for that holiday.
You are obviously, willfully, and wantonly overlooking making St. Tebow a national holiday.
Is that
I'm just telling
the Gator
you.
Fans out there? Is that what that is?
I'm just telling you. Let's get to where it really counts. Steve, dadgummit. Floyd, buddy, I'm going to have to put you back on hold. I clicked the wrong way. Hang on. I got to get back to Steve because I asked him to come up first. Okay, Steve.
How you doing, guys?
I'm doing well. I hope I didn't really hurt. Did I drop
him? Did you just drop him?
You dropped him.
Oh, no, yeah. I clicked hold.
I'm here.
Telephone or computer screen. Go ahead, Steve.
I have a question about, I have a company I work for, 401k, and also offers a Roth 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, the regular 401k, that's pre-tax. Correct.
And then
for the Roth, that's
after tax.
They'll take the okay. So what is better to put your money into?
Okay. How old are you, Steve?
50.
Mm. Okay. What is your tax bracket if you know it?
22%.
22%. Okay. What would that be? It would be 78 and a 20.
Yeah.
Roughly. Okay. For you to put in 7,000 as an example, you're going to have to earn about 30% more.
Yeah. My yearly wages is going to go up significantly probably within the next 2 years. So I'll probably be, probably about $115,000 a year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, Mike, Corey.
Yeah, well, we were just working on it this week, which is very, very amazing that you called in. So thanks for doing that. The biggest thing I would tell you is you're playing the is taxes going to be higher in the future versus now game. And this is basically what everybody's doing. You're not alone in this.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the biggest thing is the benefits of doing the Roth 401k. You pay the taxes now. In the future, you gross tax free, and you don't have to worry about taking out any sort of distributions. If you think your tax bracket is going to be higher in the future, it does make sense from a growth perspective because you can get better growth on after tax money, and then again, you don't have to take it out.
Yeah, but you got to qualify that with is the when he's going to make more money, is that with him working or is that after he retires?
After he retires. So, but everyone's situation is different. Then there's tax strategies that as soon as you retire, you can take out pre-tax money and turn it into after-tax money and use that to your benefit too. Uh-huh. So, I don't know, Mike, what do you think? Because it's...
Honestly, one of the biggest questions there is going to be, will you have the substantial benefit of lowering your tax bracket now on the rest of your earnings? That's always part of that consideration, too. How close are you to the cutoff on that bracket right now?
Meaning 22%.
That I don't know.
Divide by two.
Yeah.
Well, to give you a little bit of an idea on that, so... when we're looking at the 2020 tax brackets, are you married or single filing?
Married. All right. But we file separate. I don't.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Why are you guys filing separate?
We've only been married for 2 years.
Okay.
So
have you talked to a CPA about that one?
He'd probably yell at you.
No.
Okay.
No. So,
I think the short answer is we should have you talk to somebody on that one, just to see what's really sitting from your best case. Because honestly, when you look at 401k versus Roth, all these little questions in blind spots come into play.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, from our perspective, I would tell you, hey, let's talk. Let's get something scheduled so you can get some guidance on this, because it is not a simple cut dry question. Most people just ask you, well, what do you think your tax bracket will be? And then, well, yeah, Roth sounds fine. Let's go ahead and sign something, you know, make it happen.
I think that is a post-retirement solution.
What's that?
Roth with him.
Post-retirement solution. What do you mean?
Meaning when he...
What am I missing?
With your legacy. With the changes in the SECURE Act. Because now any pre-tax money... your beneficiaries have to pull it out in 10 years. You can't stretch.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, now the stretch IRA goes bye-bye. So, and again, they could change the rules 5 years from now, but, I mean, you play with the rules you have in front of you. Right. So.
Steve, give us a call, 296-1127. We're not going to charge for a one-hour consultation to really see what would prove to be in your best interest.
Okay. That, and I got one more quick question. It's through Prudential, it's through I'm with, and it's monitored, I guess. Have you heard of Morningstar?
I use it every day.
They move the money around. Is that just like a robot, or is that actually a person that's actually doing that?
So little time to answer this question. here's the thing, because we gotta take the next one. But the Morningstar is basically the consumer reports of how you manage money. So whether you use Morningstar, and I've worked with many firms that have used Morningstar as a gauge. Obviously, we use it as well.
Uh-huh.
But it basically gives you a lens into investments. It's not really anything that's driving the truck. So probably something at Prudential is an algorithm or something is basically putting you in something that you told them conservative, aggressive, or whatever, and they're just going to manage it based off of whatever that mindset was. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. And what was your guys' phone number at the office?
So it's
at your office?
296-1127.
You need to write that down.
296-1127. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
God bless. Okay. Floyd Arlington.
Welcome back.
Hello. I got a question for you.
All right.
I'd like to start with a little bit of trivia.
Ooh.
You were talking about, let me just point blank, why was Tigger looking in the toilet?
Woo! I said that earlier. Thank you, Floyd. Can I answer this online?
Did you catch that?
He bent over, looked at his reflection, and his teeth fell out.
He was looking for poo.
No, he was
looking for poo. I know where this is going. I'm not going to stoop to that.
Oh, Floyd, I said that earlier. I said, can I say it on the radio? And they're like, silence.
Lord have mercy. I tried.
Great one.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm approaching my full retirement age, and I have no choice in my situation but to retire debt-free. And I have a property I inherited in 03 on the west side. It's got two lots, two-thirds of an acre, a house that's not worth rehabbing. Mm. And what's the best way I can get rid of it, for sale by owner, realtor, Craigslist, to sell it to get the most money to get rid of my credit card debt, and then I can focus on selling my rental home to pay off my current mortgage?
Mm. How much is that property worth?
I really wouldn't know what two lots are worth. I'm going to say $25,000 or $30,000
a piece,
two-thirds of an acre with water, city water.
Okay, and you said you inherited it?
Yes,
Okay, you need to know what value you inherited it at. Okay, because that's going to be your stepped-up basis. Let's say that you inherited it for $40,000, you could sell it for
$50,000. Yeah. Can I jump in here for a second, Hank?
No.
Okay, fine.
I had to say that you were messing with me. Go ahead.
So here's the thing, Floyd. So I'll just preface this with, I used to actually be a residential appraiser, so I used to deal with this all the time. So here's the way that I would recommend.
Are you telling what the tax consequences to the situation?
That's not
I
where
just
I'm going. No, what I'm getting at here is that there's a thing called highest and best use, and you really want to have somebody take a look at it and actually have it appraised. because it could be the value could be the, or sorry, the value could be in all of the land. It could be in these, you know, what does the property bring, even if it does have what's called cost to cure. I mean, you could put $2,000 into it and it changes the value by $30,000. So I would highly recommend taking a look and having somebody actually go out there and take a look at it and give you an appraised value on it. Because you actually may be able to get more out of it than what you think. And they'll tell you exactly where the value lays in the property.
And going back to the example I was giving, by knowing what you inherited it at, again, you sell it for 50, you inherited it at 40, you've got a $10,000 capital gain, versus, if you don't know what you inherited it at, then I guess that would be interesting.
I think COJ said with the house it was worth $85,000.
Okay.
But the house is it's not rehabable.
Well, there's also a difference between market value and assessed value on CoJNet or COJ.net, and that's why again I use all the property appraisal records when I used to appraise houses. Again, there's also could be 10, 15%, 20% premium based off of what the actual property appraiser for the county is saying versus actually what the real market value of the property is. And that's where the two are. I mean, and people look at Zillow and, you know, there's certain asset value management programs like Zillow out there that gives you a good approximation. But again, that's why I said, if you wanted to really look at the value and see what you could squeeze out of it, I think that would be something you'd want to look at.
And that phrase is key, highest and best use.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, you're saying I should get a hold of a realtor or an appraiser?
No, a property appraiser, usually.
Property appraiser.
Yeah, it's a real estate, and there's what they're called is residential appraisers. And usually they charge like $300-$350. But at the end of the day, when you actually get the value, they can tell you, you know, here's what should be on the property. Here's what you can sell it for. And then you can actually go to people with it and say, here's what the value is based off an actual appraisal. And you don't get lowballed by buyers and things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of those calls. I did when we were a year behind on the taxes anyway. So.
No, that's a whole other conversation.
Right? I'm surprised that you might have a lien against it.
Yeah. Well, did you cover the taxes?
Yeah, we're up to the 2019 taxes.
Okay, then you're probably good.
We never got that far behind, no.
Oh, all right. Did we answer your question for you, Floyd?
Yes, sir, to get a hold of a property appraiser after I spoke with my supervisor, meaning my wife.
Smart man.
Household six.
Hey, she might only be 5'1", but she's 8 years younger than me. She can take me any day of the week.
Okay, my friend. Well, God bless. We wish you the best of outcomes.
Okay, and I'll give y'all a call fairly soon about maybe getting things in order from y'all's perspective as far as what I should do for my retirement instead of me just handling it from the best I can. I appreciate y'all.
Sounds like a winner. Take care. Bye bye. Let's. Robert, Scotty, I was trying to get Robert set up. Scotty has got this quick draw finger that he puts
on.
We
gotta pay some bills, boss.
Do you mind if I get this call set up?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Hey, Robert, are you still speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't know after what Scotty had done to us. Listen, we're going to have to take a break, but what I wanted to do was get your call set up. In other words, what your question is and you're looking for, because it's a great question to answer. And then we'll take a short break and come back and answer it. How's that?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Pretty much, I used to work for a company. I have a pension with them. Just recently, I got a letter in the mail saying you can cash out your pension. Am I better off cashing out or just letting the company pay me later on in life?
Great question.
I like this question.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, I hope. I did. All right, we're going to take a short information timeout. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Did you know?
Can you guess what makes Martin Luther King Day different from all the other holidays before it? We'll talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk radio. Did you know?
So Martin Luther King Day is the only federal holiday to specifically recognize a private citizen. This was cited by those opposed to making a new holiday as a reason for their hesitation, and the holiday's establishment is credited largely to that last, did you know, the public outpouring of support for the largest U.S. petition on record.
That's nice.
Nice.
Okay. All right. I'm in somewhat of a caustic tongue attitude, so I want to be very careful. Okay, Robert, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how old are you?
52. Going to turn 52 this year.
Okay. And you're still currently employed?
Employed by a different carrier now, yes.
Okay. And did you have a 401k with that old company as well?
Oh, without a doubt, yes, sir.
You did?
Yes, sir.
So you've got both a pension and a 401k with that old company?
I was lucky enough that when they used to do that, yes, sir.
Okay. And what have you done, if anything, with the 401k?
I kind of left it where it is right now. I did see the people who handle it. I don't want to say a company, but met with them. I didn't care for them that much. And it's doing what it needs to do. Right now I'm sitting around 600,000. I'm hoping to retire at 60.
At 600,000, that includes your current 401k?
Just my 401k, not the pension.
Okay, so 600,000 from your old company?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and your pension buyout is how much?
About 110.
Okay, so that jacks you up to 7. Was there any COLA with cost of living allowance attached to that pension?
Not that I know of. I don't know that much into it. So.
And the pension is how much?
About 110.
No, that's the payoff. What's the monthly?
The payoff. Monthly, if I break down, I think I can take it at 60.
No, no. Dollar-wise.
Dollar-wise?
Yes.
Per month?
Yes.
Breakdown. Up 560, maybe.
Is that with 100% to your spouse afterwards?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, guys. You got it.
Go ahead, Mike.
So 560 a month.
Yeah, that's a little over
6%.
6%. I know that number.
That's not. while that's not too shabby, let me ask you a quick question. How important is it for you to leave a legacy behind, or for somebody to be able to assume?
None. Okay. I have no kids. She has no kids, and we can spend it all.
Okay.
What about the Gators Foundation?
I was actually, if money wasn't an object and you wanted to do something nice for humanity, what would you do?
It would be something that she's currently a hospice person, so it'd be something with hospice or something like that.
Okay, gotcha. Now, is that something you guys have seriously considered contributing to?
No.
Yeah, but see, they could do that, Mike, if he rolled it, took the lump sum and rolled it to a hospice and put it into an IRA. At his death, he could make hospice the beneficiary.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit, so it doesn't trigger any taxable events.
Yeah, I think for me, what's running through my noodle is you know, from an income perspective, you guys married, no kids, you know, those kind of things. What would you hope to gain from it? Are you looking to just grow it, or are you looking to get income? I know we got a break. I'm just saying, because that's how I would look at it, right? You said you hope to retire, which jumps out to me. If we could help build out a plan that showed you when you could retire and how much you needed to live on, that would answer a lot of that pension question.
He's got a bigger issue than that.
Well,
Robert, I'm going to need to put you on hold because there's a bigger issue floundering out there that needs to be addressed. May I do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, folks. Hang tight. Okay, we're going to take an information time out and bring you up to date Fox National News local weather traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And then we're going to be back to you with our special listeners, Miss Emily, Miss Sarah, and Miss Emma. Granddaughters, all three. God bless them. Okay, did you know?
Do you know when Martin Luther King Day was formally recognized first as a holiday in all 50 states?
Never. I don't know.
We'll talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk radio station of high popular demand and content, particularly Smart Money. Well, what can I tell you? Anyway, lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. As the beautiful, exotic, mystic minx will tell you. Did you know?
So Martin Luther King Day, despite being a federal holiday, wasn't fully recognized in all 50 states until the year 2000. Until then, the state of South Carolina allowed state employees one floating holiday per year. They could choose to take Martin Luther King Day or one of three Confederate holidays.
Huh.
How about that?
That was kind of stupid.
A little bit.
Okay. All right, let's get back to our friend Robert. Yo, Robert, you yes, still sir. With us?
With it, I'm out. Yes, sir.
Okay. We had some interesting discussions on the break. To me, I think your bigger issue, and perhaps you built that into the question, and I didn't realize you were already there, is that you've got $600,000. Excuse me, in an existing 401k, and I'm almost willing to bet you have no formal written plan that governs the dissemination of those assets into different asset classes targeted around a yield that you feel is appropriate and a level of risk measured by a term called standard deviation that you feel appropriate. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's a 6-to-1 ratio of dollars to the pension. And yeah, the pension is important, but in the scheme of it all, it's a minor portion. So, all right, guys, go for it. Roll it out. Let's go.
So the first thing, like Hank said, that we should really be taking a look at is building that financial blueprint for that $710,000 house that's sitting in two different accounts for you.
Right.
So what sort of steps have you taken or have you been thinking about taking? Corey's holding up a goose egg.
Corey O'Damas over there.
See, I'm projecting already. Making...
Have you done any formal planning with your retirement goals and what that's going to look like for you?
Pretty much, I know I'm going to sell. I got two houses. One's almost paid for, and one's sitting pretty good with profit. I'm moving to Gulf Coast. I figure my income, I need a minimum probably $50,000 to $60,000 to pull every year. The house we paid off out there, I just plan on fishing the rest of my life. That was
nice.
The right. mindset of my goal set. So I haven't put that much detail into it, so you're pointing out that I really need to.
Based upon, I can tell you right now, that is a very achievable goal. Did your wife work?
Currently she works. She'll be working until, 8 years, hopefully, and then we leave.
Okay.
Is her income significant?
No. We're both mid-level. I mean, nothing really great.
Does she have a retirement account?
She just started one because she started with a new job just recently. So she's excited. She just started one.
Okay, so she had none from her previous employment.
That's correct.
Okay. Corey O'Damas, you were...
Yeah.
Put your O'Damas
Yeah, I mean, I think overall for me, Robert, obviously with the real estate and everything, you probably feel a little bit comfortable, obviously, with where your position is. What I'd say is just, you know, let's figure out when you guys can kind of get with us to have a conversation. Because at the end of the day, like, we want to make sure you don't have any blind spots, make sure everything is taken care of. And then at the end of the day, you may be surprised. Like, depending on how fast you grow this thing, you may be able to retire a little earlier, go fishing sooner, or even be able to spend a little bit more money. Maybe, you know, you're thinking $50,000, but maybe based off your asset level, you know, and the growth of it, you could take out an extra $10,000, and then what does that do? You know, you want another boat?
What
do you,
oh,
you
know, free income,
all those
yeah.
kind of things, you know. So
yeah, boat's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're trying to fish,
I know. Yeah.
So, but yeah. Where are you headed on the Gulf Coast?
Fina Hatchie.
I'd rather not say.
I bet it's nice.
He doesn't want us to steal his spot.
Hey, Robert, I got a question for you. You said you have two pieces of property. Were those separate and distinct from your existing residence?
No. One's my resident. One's a rental house right now.
Okay. How is the rental house owned? Titled?
Titled-wise, to me, I guess. It's I got maybe 6 years left on the loan.
Okay. But the title of the property is just in your name.
That's correct.
All right. How much personal liability coverage do you have?
Yep.
It's still running full coverage because I've got the rental. Because I was worried about everything.
Okay. So, if I could sue you, how much would your insurance company pay me?
That I wouldn't know.
Okay, that's what I'm asking for.
You got to know that one.
All right, I'm willing to bet you the way that you answered that, it's you just have a standard policy that will cover you hazards and liabilities 100, 300. You need to have at a minimum $1 million liability umbrella, and you're going to spend more money on Coke and pizza this year than it will cost you per million. Generally, about $250 per million per year. You get that from your carrier. Equally as important, you have set yourself up to be sued. I would put that property at least in an LLC. Very simple to do, and then call your property and casualty agent and tell them, hey, I need at least $1 million.
Yes, sir.
All right, and don't think you can't be sued. Trust me, you can. I never told you the snake story, I don't think. Have you ever heard the snake story?
No, sir.
Me and the snake? First off, if it ain't got shoulders, it don't deserve to live. That's just how I look at it. And in Vietnam, I feared the snakes and the booby traps more than I did the enemy. That's what you call IED.
Yeah, that's, yep.
Okay. Well, you know, these young guys, we got to get them straight. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the discussion of why I have it, but I got a guy that cleans the boats. And he comes over to the house. He's in my driveway. He calls and he says, hey, Mr. Madden, I'm in the driveway. There is a pygmy back rattler. Do you know what a pygmy or a pygmy rattler snake is?
Yes, sir. Without a doubt, I'm a reptile guy.
Oh.
Okay. That's perhaps one of the meanest damn snakes you'll ever. They're worse than a Democrat. That's how bad their bite is. So I told him, no, kill the thing. Now I'm thinking this guy's a boat cleaning guy. He's got a lot of long handle things, so he can sit there and beat it to death pretty easy. And he said, you sure? And I said, absolutely. 45 minutes later, I get a call, and this time his wife's on the line. Hey, Mr. Madden, this is Aaron's wife. I thought, this is kind of odd. I said, yeah? She said, listen, Aaron's in the hospital. I thought, oh, my gosh, the guy slipped and fell on the boat, broke an arm, did something horrible. And I said, oh, my golly, that's terrible. What can I do to help? And she said, well, he got bit by the snake. And I said, how the heck did he get bit by a snake that he's beating to death with a long pole? And she said, well, he didn't do that. He felt bad for the snake, so he got a little stick and tried to push it into a bucket. The stick broke, and his hand went forward, and the snake hit him. Only got one fang on the fingertip, right? 12 vials of anti-venom.
It swelled up, I know.
They're bad. Okay, but here's the deal. I said, oh, gosh, that's horrible. And she said, yeah, and I hate to tell you this, but we're going to sue you. I said, for what? And she said, well, the snake bit him on your property. And I said, yeah, but you didn't do what I told you to do. And she said, well, that's all right. Our insurance company is still going to sue you. And I thought, boy, if that's not a fine, how do you do? So I called up my carrier, and he laughed and said, well, probably cost about $1,000. Don't worry about it. You got it covered. Now, I never, whatever it paid, I never heard, knew, nor did they say. But let's say that he got gangrene and he lost an arm and it was a right arm. You would have seen an entirely different settlement option come out of there. The point of this is that the quarter that you're least expecting it in, you can get hit at. And on rental property, particularly. So okay. Get at least $1 million, probably $2 million. Can you afford, say, $500-$600 extra a year?
Without a doubt.
Do it.
Yeah.
All right. So I built you a clock to tell you what time it is.
Thank you very much. Hey, right. Give me your number, your office number, because I know you guys were reading it out, but I've been driving, so it's kind of hard to write down.
That's 296-1127.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, God bless. Great question, Robert. Love it. Take care, my friend. Okay, let's move up to Marshall downtown. Yo, Marshall.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm finer than frogs here. I'm doing a lot better than that damn snake is, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you that. Hey, listen, PSP. My wife is getting ready to retire this year, and she doesn't know what to do with her PSP. I'm telling her to roll that thing into an IRA, but then again, I'm not telling her what kind of IRA to roll it into.
Okay. All right. Who wants? I don't see hands.
No. I got this one because you and I are about the only people that have personal experience with TSP. When did she set up her TSP? Is it in a Roth TSP or a traditional TSP?
Traditional.
Okay. So then, as far as keeping the same tax consequences, she would want to roll it to a traditional IRA.
Okay.
I've
done that.
Traditional IRA.
Well, here's another catch, what? Though. You said she's looking to retire this year, right?
She's going to retire in May.
In May? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about how much is set aside in that TSP?
It's about $183,000 right now.
Okay. And then are you guys comfortable going and moving that into an IRA, or do you need the lifetime income option that is available through TSP?
Well, you know what? That's funny you say that, because I really don't know what to do about that part, but she mentioned to me just yesterday, that she wants to take the money out of that account.
Okay. Because that's something that everybody doesn't really ask that question until they go to do the rollover, and then there's a specific part on there that makes you recognize that you're giving that up. So if you guys hadn't talked about that, I wanted to bring that to the forefront.
I hate that expression because that's not true. And here's why.
Well,
once you roll it over, 5 years from now, she could say, I want to annuitize it. So she could buy an immediate annuity.
Absolutely. I agree with you, but it's something that's not talked about very often.
Well, I know, because the annuity lobby is so doggone big and powerful that they were able to force their way through on this Secure Retirement Act and make it mandatory that your various corporate retirement accounts include an annuity option.
Yep. And it's now portable, too.
So.
The answer is if she wants to move it out of there, you guys don't need the income option just at its face value the way it is right now, then move that into a traditional IRA.
What if she do decide that she wants to take some money out of that before she moves it? Can she still do that?
There's a distribution form that would allow that. Is she older than 59 and a half?
Yes.
Okay. Good, then you don't have to worry about adverse tax consequences. There is the ability to do a partial rollover and do a distribution on the rest.
Well, that's not true about it. She will create a taxable event. She just won't pay a 10% penalty.
But she's still going to have to pay the 20%, right?
Well, 20%, that's an arbitrary percentage rate that the company that's losing the account will take out on taxes, and you can contest that anyway and not have them withhold it.
Wow. I didn't know that.
But know this, that when you do it, you're still going to be liable for the taxes.
Yep.
So beware that you don't take the money and spend it. No, well, I don't have enough to pay the taxes. Well, sorry about
and,
that.
And that money that she takes, if she decides to take the distribution, that money, is that applied to our income for the year?
It does. Yes. It adds okay. to your total income for the year.
How much money are you talking about?
$183. Oh, she said 50, but I don't think it's going to be that much.
Okay, just think, in a 20% tax bracket, that's going to cost her 60 to take it out.
60,000.
Well, it'll be 60,000. 10 of that are the taxes. So. In other words, for her to get 50, she has got to take 60.
Right.
If your tax bracket is higher, then so on.
And that 60 will apply to our income for the year, right?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm trying to tell her. I don't want to take any money out. I just want her to go ahead and roll that thing over into a traditional IRA, and then we can be set. And then I'm retiring next year. And I want to do the same thing because I'm military. I'm retired military.
Okay.
And I'll be getting, then I can, well, I won't apply for my Social Security early. I'm going to wait. But I'm retiring from the Postal Service, so I'll get that too.
Okay, cool.
I'm thinking we're going to be good. I'm thinking we're going to be set.
Yeah. If you want another dependent, I'm available.
Oh, no.
I'm not proud.
But I got you guys' number, too, so I'm going to make an appointment to come sit down with you guys also.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Well, God bless,
wait,
Marshall.
Listen, I appreciate y'all talking to me today, too.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the call.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, I am what motor mouth me ran over again. What are you shaking your head for?
I'm just acknowledging your comment.
Well, that's good that you do. folks, we're going to take a short time out, very short time. Well,
yeah, it's got
to be short. You listen to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Did you know?
So I came across this one while putting the rest of these together. Do you know what financial planning mistake is still plaguing the King family, even as recently as 2014?
Mistakes. I would say it's probably lack of trust planning.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Pretty close. We'll talk about it more after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You listen to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We have a short fuse here. Did you know?
So the King's family has been fighting over his estate since not long after his passing. Martin Luther King Jr. died intestate or without a will. And their most recent and highly publicized squabble was in 2014 over his traveling Bible and Nobel Peace Prize. His daughter wanted to keep them, and the sons wanted to sell them. Importance of a will, folks.
Yep. You'd be amazed of the famous people. We ought to do that sometime. Did you know the famous people who died intestate? And
there's
I think
a lot.
You will be utterly amazed. And the number that are judges or attorneys.
Oh, he's Steinbrenner. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a nasty one.
So it's no. Don't do that to your family, folks. If you do nothing else, just go to LegalZoom.com. That's better than a sharp stick in the eye. For us who were born and raised here, had the Mr. Strickland, you know, Strickland's Landing, Kingsley Lake, Nirvana. There was Nirvana. Then there was heaven. Then there was purgatory. Then there was hell. Had he done basic estate planning, we would still be enjoying the wonders and beauties of Kingsley Lake and Strickland's Landing. But he chose not to do that. And they had to sell it for taxes. So... okay, that's the magic signal. I cannot believe that our time has gone. But we got to get out of here. Folks, if nobody said they cared about you, know that Michael, Corey, Scotty, the beautiful, exotic, mystic Minx, and I, we truly do. Always remember this. The greatest investment you'll ever make is never found on an asset balance sheet anywhere. It's the special time that you're going to spend with your friends and your families. You create a memory that can never be taken from you. The IRS can't even get it. So it's yours for life. And know this, our American fighting men, our warrior class, the men, the women, you've got our back so that we can live in a city and live in a state of freedom and safety. And always know this, Christ Jesus, your Savior, all you got to do is ask for him and he's there and he's yours. Gave you this day. Honor it by trying to live his gospel. And equally as important, dads, if you really want to stand tall, learn to kneel with your family and teach your children how to pray. You certainly aren't going to find that any other place. And never forget this. And our flag, we stand tall and we salute. I was so proud of Mom when she watched the national football game. They played the national anthem. She jumped up and crossed her heart. So, and so did I. God bless you all, folks. We'll be with you next week. Bye-bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.